Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So this is Internet Week in New York City, as we talked about earlier in the week, the city recognizing the tech sector that is growing so fast. A report last week found we have now passed Boston for the number two high-tech business hub in America, second only to Silicon Valley. And we have a very special guest with us now in conjunction with Internet Week, David Karp, the CEO of Tumblr, which, as many of you know, is New York-based and is one of the very biggest social media sites these days, even though Facebook seems to be grabbing all of this morning's headlines. I wonder why. David Karp, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And you're a New Yorker, right? You grew up here?
I am, yeah. Yeah, born and raised on the Upper West Side.
Somebody told me that, like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, you're one of those tech geniuses who dropped out of school. Is that right?
I was very impatient. I started working pretty young. So, yeah, I got my first job when I was 14 and then an internship over the next summer that I stuck with and ended up dropping out of high school for, yeah.
Was that Bronx Science?
It was, yeah. That was my first year at Bronx Science.
So you dropped out of Bronx Science at 14 and went to work?
I did, yeah. First fixing computers, and then the summer I turned 15, going into my sophomore year, I got an internship writing code for the first time. And I loved it, and it was something that I wasn't really able to get in school at the time. And luckily that's changing. But, you know, this was 10 years ago, and there wasn't good programming education. And I was pretty driven on my own, so I stuck with it.
Did you ever go back?
I didn't. I had aspirations to go to college at some point. We kept all of our records in order and stuff, so I could have played off being homeschooled and tried to apply to NYU or Columbia or something in the city, but never got around to it. I was pretty busy when I was turning 18 and starting to think about that stuff.
I guess so. Do you think there's a lesson there about the value of traditional education, or would you just say you are almost unique and don't anybody take a lesson from your experience?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't really recommend this track to anybody. And, you know, my younger brother, he's 5 years younger than me, very different interests, but, you know, my parents never suggested that for him. I never really pushed him, you know, out of school. And he's done very well in school. I think, you know, for certain things, particularly new and emerging, you know, trends in industries, certainly something like technology, there's, you know, a lot that you can do on your own. And as a driven person, I wouldn't slow down because of school. And that was my issue, is I had the opportunity to take these gigs where I was getting to work on, you know, the stuff that I loved. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know, school was getting in the way of that. That said, people that I work with, people that, you know, work at Tumblr today, who have computer science degrees and have gone through the system, have gotten a tremendous amount out of it, and they're much smarter for it, you know, and much better at this than I am.
How early did you have the vision for Tumblr?
About 7 years ago. So I was, you know, I grew up when, to me, the web was in its prime with the, you know, early versions of AOL. It was incredibly social. It was incredibly connected and just changing all the time. And I really, really wanted a presence on the internet. The tools that everybody was using to create that presence on the internet were blogging platforms, which were really geared towards writers, and I'm just not a writer, so they didn't serve me very well. So that was when I started noodling on what would become Tumblr.
And that was when you were still a teenager, because you're 25 now, is that right?
I am, yeah. So this was when I was 18, 19, and starting to really fall in love with this community of kind of prolific technologists. Who had these really terrific blogs on the internet, had great audiences, and were telling great stories and teaching me so much. And I wanted, you know, I never thought that I was nearly as smart as any of these guys, but I wanted to start. I wanted to start, you know, putting myself out there. I wanted, you know, to when you Googled me, to have something that I was proud of actually show up. And again, I tried. I tried all of the existing platforms. There were a bunch of them at the time, Movable Type and WordPress and Blogger. But they were really geared towards editorial writing, which is not what I was looking to do.
So for the uninitiated, and actually let me put out the phone number, because listeners, we have a few minutes to take some phone calls for David Karp, the CEO of Tumblr. Some of you Tumblr users or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Talk to the uninitiated for a minute, someone new to social media. Let's say they know about Facebook, they know about Twitter, at least by reputation. They don't have time to be connected all day and all night. How should they use Tumblr compared to some of the other big sites?
So, I mean, the way I think of all of social media is it's really about, you know, personal expression. It's about sharing, you know, those special moments on Facebook. You just had a kid. You just got engaged. You just went on this great vacation. What blogging traditionally was you know, an editorial place to tell long stories, to keep, you know, a journal, to give your point of view on the world. Tumblr is really a place for creative expression, a place where you can share, you know, the projects that you're working on if you're an artist, the, you know, the songs that you have stuck in your head, the funny video that you just watched, the profound quote that you just read. Really about the kind of your creative expression and the things that inspire you.
Maybe the biggest news from Tumblr lately is your push toward more of an editorial stance. You've hired editors and journalists to work within the company and create stories based on what's going on in the Tumblr universe. Do you see Tumblr now as a journalistic entity?
We're starting to. I mean, I should say it's, you know, still very much an experiment, but one that I think is off to a great start. The thesis was, you know, Tumblr now as a community of 50 million people is starting to become one of the biggest cities in the world. It's, you know, this extraordinary cultural hub. And these guys are, you know, this editorial team that we've started to build out here is basically set up to report on the Tumblr beat, to dig up those stories, to tell those stories about the really interesting things going on in this very expansive creative community. And, you know, that is at the center of everything that we've accomplished so far. It's not that, you know, we're so clever, or that the tools are so great, or that the name is so good. It's really that there's this incredible community of creators that are using Tumblr to make some of the most interesting media in the world right now. And, you know, the more that we can tell those stories, you know, it certainly puts the best face on what we're doing, but it also, you know, is a credit to this incredible talent that lives here right now.
And we should disclose, and I didn't know this till this morning, after I knew you were coming on, and somebody at the station told me that WNYC is an early media partner with you. We recently collaborated on a story, some of the people here, I guess, on the New York Times photo archive.
Mm-hmm.
So is that how you envision this, partnering with existing organizations?
So from the very beginning, we had no real vision for how, you know, brands or organizations or publishers would use Tumblr. They showed up, or I should say a handful of the really clever ones showed up early, and they really understood what was not only special about Tumblr, but what unique resources they had to bring to the table. So you look at something like a New York Times that has these extraordinary archives that rarely see the light of day, or, you know, hadn't gotten to see the light of day before this venture on Tumblr. That was a chance for them to not only create this great new auxiliary feed of content for their biggest fans, the people who were, you know, standing by ready for that as soon as they made it available, but also a whole community of people that they found on Tumblr and beyond who's, you know, been, you know, magnetized toward this just fascinating stuff that they're putting out there. People who maybe don't read the New York Times every day, but now follow, it's called the New York Times Lively Morgue. It's where they're, you know, surfacing these brilliant high-resolution scans, two-sided scans of these, you know, little things that they're pulling out of the archives. It's brilliant, and, you know, the stories that they're telling around them. But it's this, become this great feed, not only for their biggest fans, but also the people who might not consider themselves New York Times readers, even. That's a pretty remarkable thing, and, you know, something that we kind of watch in awe of and try and take lots of notes and try and help, you know, other brands and organizations replicate, or, you know, get them inspired to try their own stuff. Yeah.
Tumblr CEO David Karp, my guest on WNYC, and Tumblr user Alexander in Manhattan on the phone. Hi, Alexander.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I just wanted to say I really like using Tumblr. I've been using it for the past year. I'm a commercial photographer. I have a website. But what I like about Tumblr is that it helps to feed other images, like personal work, B-roll stuff, travel stuff, just more personal-oriented items. And I love the fact that I get more access to a different audience, and I use it to feed it back to the website. I like the business marketing tool aspect of it.
Thank you
so much.
The
only thing I don't like is that I wish Tumblr would have a button that I could use the images to send to LinkedIn or to other social media sites. I know they do it with Facebook, but it doesn't. You have to do like a manual connection to LinkedIn.
You're absolutely right. So we're definitely behind on that stuff, and we're trying to integrate a lot more of these networks because the ecosystem of social media tools is much bigger today, and we're trying to catch up. So you'll see much deeper integrations with a lot of these other networks very soon.
Excellent, but I think it's a great tool. It's easy to use. I have a social media coach that I work with, and she showed me how to just set it up, and I have a feed going every three times a week. And, again, I love the fact that I'm reaching a brand new, a different audience that gets me to showcase my work. Thanks again.
Wonderful.
Alexander, thanks a lot. You've heard about that other social media site that's got a little IPO thing happening today?
Uh-huh. Very happy for them, rooting for them.
Are you going to buy some shares for yourself?
That's a good question. I don't think I own any stocks right now, actually. I have enough Tumblr stock at the moment that I'm going to spend my energy and time on that for now. But this IPO is really important for this industry, and I think really whether it's an inflection point, I just think it's a very important milestone for this industry and something that, you know, I'm happy to see everybody rooting for and acting very, you know, kind of responsible is the wrong word, but yeah, you know, it's something that I think just the whole industry is behind right now. And you know, Facebook has executed this brilliantly. They deserve, you know, just incredible success here, and hopefully they prove that the internet really can build $100 billion businesses.
And CEO Facebook may be raising, untold billions today, but other new media companies are also raising a lot of money. You probably heard that Pinterest raised $100 million in funding yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I gather your company raised almost that much last fall and is currently valued around $800 million. So how much social media can the ecosystem support?
So the upper boundary is certainly moving. So first of all, more people are signing on and using these tools. So that's fascinating to look at a platform like Pinterest that's brought a whole new market. You know, it's brought, Midwest moms onto social media tools for the first time who are now, starting to branch out and use other social media tools. That's a really remarkable thing. So there are whole new communities that haven't been tapped yet. The thing that's really moving the upper boundary, though, is more and more mobile usage. So you probably read that Facebook, just in the last couple of weeks, has hit the inflection of half of their traffic is being generated from mobile devices. That inflection point for Tumblr is something like a year and a half out. That's what we're projecting right now. That's a remarkable sort of, it's exciting, a little bit scary, in that it's so different from what we're dealing with today. We're so used to browsers and desktops. This is a lot of new stuff to understand. And, as Facebook represented in their filing, this is also a platform that social media hasn't quite figured out how to monetize yet. So, it's a brilliant business for Apple, a brilliant business for their developer community. Hasn't yet, been something that companies like Pinterest, or Tumblr, or Facebook have figured out how to really, really tackle yet.
And Tumblr, I gather, is the biggest blogging site in the world by now. Do you worry, as some people do, that so much sharing of news via social media, as opposed to directly from professional news organizations, is closing people's minds? There's a lot of concern that the Google search engine algorithm these days kind of even knows maybe whether you're liberal or conservative, and gives you information that they think you want based on things you've clicked on before, and that if you're getting a lot of your news from your friends on Facebook or on Tumblr, then it's all going to be people who tend to agree with you in the first place, be interested in the same things as you in the first place, and the news ecosystem is going to serve to close rather than open our minds. How concerned are you about that?
Well, look, even as social media starts to be more and more of the media we consume, I don't know that it's not in jeopardy right now, but I think real journalism is incredibly important going forward. There's no question. And what I get really excited about are the kind of new innovative forms of journalism that either leverage social media or they put a whole new spin on what journalism is and how it leverages technology. So I'm very hopeful that, real journalism and, real authoritative facts can, continue to be very accessible and be the, a big part of the information that we normally consume. Another thing that's incredibly important to, I think, just humanity is the ability in all of these networks to move sideways. So to not only, sign on and say, I'm a businessman, I'm into business, I'm an artist, give me my favorite jazz music, give me my this, give me these keywords or these tags, to exist in spaces where you can be surprised. It's something that I love about New York City, the fact that just walking around you can stumble into a whole new movement or culture, meet somebody you would have never expected to meet, and constantly discover things. And I worry that I worry about this in Tumblr, but I just worry that the internet that we're building right now is a place where you can really find a community that is perfect for you, but at the same time never lets you grow as a person. It's perfect for who you are today and gives you everything that you want today, but doesn't help you move sideways and discover whole new forms of art, culture, interests, that might have inspired you to become a you know, slightly different, maybe slightly better person. So, it's something we try and design into Tumblr a lot.
So just before you go, we did get you on the program in conjunction with Internet Week in New York City, which is kind of celebrating the city's tech sector and its remarkable growth. Why is Tumblr based in New York, other than because you grew up here? Do you get
It's definitely a big part of it.
Do you get any advantages from being here as opposed to Silicon Valley or anywhere else?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, New York is just, I couldn't imagine doing this anywhere else. Two big advantages we get. First, just Tumblr is sort of a media network, or you know, having become a media network in a way. Being in a environment, so first of all, just being in the shadow of these big media behemoths that you get in New York City is actually really an extraordinary privilege. We've got plenty of techie people out here, but rather than just living in this kind of melting pot of technology, we also get to hang out and mingle with people who are used to dealing with audiences in the hundreds of millions, or are brilliant at creating great media that, you know, makes millions of people happy. That's a really incredible thing, and something that we've been able to, I think, really leverage as we get to, you know, hang out with the folks at the New York Times and help pull together projects like the Lively Morgue. That's a really, you know, wonderful thing that we wouldn't get from the West Coast, at least not without being out in New York all the time. Another piece is actually recruiting. So interestingly, you think all of the technology, all of the engineers are out on the West Coast. Truth is, you know, New York is a lot freaking cooler than Palo Alto, or, you know, even the Bay Area to a lot of people. And when these guys are getting pulled, these very talented engineers are getting pulled in all of these directions between Apple and Google and Facebook and these companies that look an awful lot alike from the inside, we can say, you know, hey, just come and spend a weekend in New York. We'll fly you out here. We'll put you up at a hotel. We'll have you come meet the team over at Tumblr. And we've got an opportunity at Tumblr, you know, that I would say rivals an engineer's opportunity at Facebook, Google, or any other company.
All right.
And, you know, a much smaller team to get started on here. So, you know, our ability to offer a completely different city is a really interesting selling point.
All right. That's a great way to end. David Karp, New York is so freaking cooler than the West Coast. There you go.
And thank you so much.
As part of Internet Week, I'll just mention, in case you want to hide in your office, that today is also Walkabout NYC, when a bunch of internet companies, including Tumblr, are opening their doors and holding open houses. It goes from noon to 6 this afternoon. Listeners, we've got a link with more information on our show page if you want to find out how to go do this walkabout and see Tumblr's ping pong table and everything. You do have a ping pong table, right?
We do. We have one ping pong table.
WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for the link to Walkabout NYC. And David Karp, I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. Our next very special guest, the former president of Chile, Michelle Bachelet, one of the few women heads of state in world history. And this is going to be part of our End of War series. We will ask Michelle Bachelet if it matters to the future of peace if more women have power in government. Stay with us.